Which one?
The audio file.
Oh, oh
my gosh, totally forgot her name. I'm glad that people are listening, though.
I know, it's super cool to find out that people actually listen to it. It was just the few that pay attention to me on Heather Plunkard.
Heather Plunkard, thank you for listening.
What up,
Heather? Also, Mom, thank you for listening.
My mom didn't listen. What's that all about?
I know. I've been meaning to talk to you about that. What's going on?
I was going to say she doesn't know technology, but she's got an iPad and a Mac and all that jazz. You'd think she'd be able to get on that, but...
Yeah. You know what I blame?
Yeah.
Bejeweled Blitz.
I should blame that, too.
Yeah. I don't know. My mom was the only person that I ever expected to listen to this, so I'm glad that we've got more. Thank you, Heather.
Yeah, Heather gets a shout-out. The next three people that listen to our theme may get a shout-out, but
yeah,
whatever.
We'll see. So, Heather, do me a favor, talk to Spencer, and let him know which side of the iPhone I am on and which side he's on. We've already established it's an iPhone 3GS.
Yeah, you are off. It's not a 4S.
You were so close.
We're poor boys over here.
You got the S, right?
Yeah.
Something
like that.
Yeah. Anyway, all right. What are we going to talk about today?
I wanted to learn everything about Trent, because we got to listen to the Spencer show, and that wasn't as interesting as I thought
it was. It was awesome.
It was,
we totally got distracted.
Yeah, I know. So we're not really going to find out what it's all about Trent. We're just going to see how long it takes before he gets derailed, because it took me about 20 seconds.
Yeah.
So, Trent, where do you sit in all this? What's your story about all this game dev stuff?
Okay, so, as we established last time, I fell in love with games at a very young age. And actually, I was thinking about it. The first time I ever considered video games an option, I was in fifth grade. And during show and tell, I stood up in front of my class, and I was like, hey, I figured out basically I explained sprites to him. I'm like, the leg doesn't actually move, it's just the pixels moving, and I'm gonna make a video game. And everybody laughed at me. And I was like, oh.
Haters.
Maybe that was too pie in the sky. Maybe they're right. Maybe they have something here. And then later, as I was playing Final Fantasy VII, I was like, oh, you know what? People get paid for this. And so the next day, I told my whole health class, I want to be a video game person. In fact, I got to the point where I'm from Wyoming, as we established last time. Wyoming, go Pokes.
Oh, right. That's the Pokes thing. Oh.
Yeah, in your face.
In your face. Okay, keep moving on.
So Wyoming. I was really, I felt like I was stagnating in Wyoming. So I was looking for what to do, where to go. And I looked at BYU, exchange courses? I don't know, wherever they send me all the information, I fill them out, I send it back, they grade it, and I get college credit for it. One of the courses that I was looking at was Japanese, because I was like, well, if I ever have to move to Japan to make video games, I want to know Japanese. Anyway, that didn't pan out. The other place that I was looking at was Joe Kubert, which is a school for comic artists over in Georgia. Is it Georgia? No, I think it's in New Jersey. No, Savannah's in Georgia.
Yes.
Anyway, the Savannah, whatever it's called. Anyways, because I wanted to be a comic artist. This becomes important later. So, anyway, I've always had games as a part of my life. Video games, card games, my family. They're a game-playing family, so I've always been surrounded by it. And I realized that that's what I wanted to do. Well, and then I forgot. I became a wayward youth and lived with my friends and just hung out and played video games all day, but never really wanted more from my life than just living in a closet and paying $50 a month rent to my buddies. And eating taquitos and burritos and hanging out, working at a movie theater.
Microwavable chicken nuggets. That was my vice.
We would just get tortillas and, like, take a butter knife and just, like, scoop out refried beans from a can and, like, put it on, like, peanut butter. Put a couple slices of cheese on it, nuke it in the microwave. And that's what I lived on for probably 6 months.
And to think now that we're married and have zero money trying to do all this game dev stuff, those skills are come to good use.
Yeah. So
that's
actually
all I eat now anyways.
My wife made taquitos last night, which was awesome. Thank you, Laurie.
Real ones or just microwavable ones?
No, she like shredded the chicken and like put a bunch of stuff in and wrapped them up and baked them. And
oh,
oh man, they were so good.
Yeah, okay, that would be good.
Anyway, so back to games. That was a
minutes.
Little bit longer than
Three
20
minutes,
seconds.
Maybe.
Sorry, I tried so hard to get off track earlier.
Wasn't bad. All right.
Anyway, then I moved. I got into film. I had a friend who was really into films and movies and all that stuff. Wanted to be a writer, and so he and I were going to move to Phoenix. Well, I don't know why we chose Phoenix. Well, I do. There was a community college in Scottsdale, of all places, that we were going to go to that had a film program, we thought. I don't really know if it existed or not. We never made it there. We were like, oh, you know what? Maybe we should move to Salt Lake instead, because they have a film scene there that we could get into. And if we fail, we're not so far away from home that we can't just move back. So we moved to Salt Lake on $30.
Wow.
Yeah. And found a job working for a call center. And we started kind of trying to network. He was way more into it than I was. I wanted to be a film editor, but I didn't have any software or anything. I mean, we were literally, like, I moved here with a bed, a dresser, some clothes, and an alarm clock. And so we survived for, like, 3 weeks on $30, which was quite the experience, let me tell you. It was like cereal from Big Lots and it was the worst. Anyway, so we survived that and we started making some money, you know, working and getting a steady paycheck. So every day I would walk to and from work and then go buy comic books. I would walk like 3 or 4 miles every day and I would hit Dr. Volts on 33rd South and like 2100 East. And then I would go to Night Flight when it was in whatever mall was on 54 South and Highland.
Not Fashion Place.
I know. Cottonwood Mall.
Mm-hmm.
And I would buy dollar comic books and read Sandman and Battle Pope and all sorts of stuff. Fathom. I was really into Fathom. Anyway, we started working in film and just volunteering on shorts and whatever, just to get the experience. You know, nights, weekends, whatever, we were doing film. And I really kind of got burned out on that. Not burned out, but I realized that it wasn't really my passion. It was his passion, and it kind of, I got sucked up in that because he was so passionate about it. So, anyway, years later, I was still trying to figure out, like, what I really wanted to do. And I met my future wife at the time and kind of fell in love with her. And one night I was sitting there and
Wait, hold on. Kind of fell in love with her. Hope she doesn't listen to this.
Well, all right. When I met my wife...
Recant, quick. All right. Edit that. You met your future wife and you...
Fell head over heels.
There you go. Okay. Moving on.
And still am, which is great. But I was sitting there in my room one time trying to figure out what I wanted to do with my life. And I was like, okay, besides Laurie, what do I love? And there were three things. Video games, comic books, and Magic the Gathering. So,
nice.
Magic the Gathering is one of the greatest games ever, and we will play it sometime. I will teach you on the podcast how to play it.
That would actually be a really interesting podcast. That Magic Gathering is one I'm familiar with, never really played. Not that I have any aversion to it. It's just, you know, we all have our time to be able to dedicate to things. But,
yeah.
Okay, moving on.
We have time during the podcast.
We'll,
anyway.
We'll definitely do it next week.
No
guarantees.
We'll do it sometime, maybe.
Well, I found it
we
was...
We promise we'll think about it.
I saw it was an iPad app, so maybe I can throw it on there and...
Yeah, that'll kind of teach you how to play.
Pack things.
It'll kind of teach you how to
play. Do I get to have Pokemon?
Close.
Different game.
Close, though.
Yeah. Okay.
They're made by the same... No, they're not.
No. Wizards
no, Wizards Coast? Wizards of the Coast did Pokemon back in the day. I'm not sure if they still are.
Wow. I never knew that.
Yeah.
Now,
another game that I played.
Dominion? Have you played Dominion?
I have not played Dominion.
Oh,
I need to,
man,
though.
That one is intense.
Yeah.
It's totally for camping. Because it's intense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not a good joke. No, that one's super cool. You got it, didn't you?
I did.
Oh, bless your heart.
10 minutes later.
Yeah. I've played that with some friends, and that one's pretty cool. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Whispering probably doesn't read anyway.
Okay, Magic Gathering, we'll play it sometime. Yeah. Let us know, give us feedback on what we need to do to teach Spencer how to do Magic the Gathering.
Yeah, good job.
I'm a noobski.
I'm also kind of a horrible teacher when it comes to games.
Yay! That sounds like even a funner experience.
Yeah. Yeah. anyway, we'll play. It's awesome.
Okay.
It's probably my favorite game. Just because there's so much there. Anyway, so I realized that I loved these three things. And basically Magic has their website where every day they post articles. And I was reading those articles pretty religiously. They're awesome, by the way. There's a guy named Mark Rosewater who's head designer for Magic the Gathering. He's an incredible guy, and basically every week for the past 7, 10, 9, I don't know how many years, he's put out an article every single week that basically gives you a PhD in game design. He talks about things like, making sure that you are giving yourself restrictions. You can design anything you want to do. That's not a useful place to start, because anything doesn't, like, it's just too massive. It's too massive. If you can do anything, you won't do anything. Does that make sense?
Yeah, paralysis through freedom. This one,
yeah.
I've heard it. I've actually talked with some colleagues about this extensively over the last year.
Awesome. Yeah. Especially in school.
Oh, yeah.
It's very, very easy to get caught up in that because you can do pretty much anything.
Mm-hmm.
So what you have to do is you have to put limits on what you can actually do. Anyway, he's got a whole, probably like 5 or 6 articles about that.
Nice.
He talks about the design process for this awesome game. So literally, it was my first introduction to game design. Talks about game theory, all sorts of stuff. Anyway, Magic is a huge resource. Like, there's so many people talking about Magic and considering it at a higher level than any other game that I've ever seen. So anyway, that was my first introduction to game design. Well, there was another guy who was a player. He was a Magic player, a pro, who got hired on and started writing articles. His name's Aaron Forsyth. Also awesome. And he was talking in one of his articles about, like, what does it take to be a Magic designer? And they said, go to school. Get a degree. In anything. Doesn't matter what it is. It could be psychology, it could be world history, it could be art, it could be, I don't know, something stupid. What's a stupid degree?
A major? Sculpture degree.
Oh, there
wah,
you go.
Wah. No. No, you know what? I've actually met quite a few game designers, and they're all coming from the most random backgrounds, and it turns into there's no such thing as a stupid degree, because
yeah.
I met someone just like, yeah, I had an undergrad in anthropology, and...
Which would be awesome for game design.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, game design, in a sense, comes from so... I mean, that's what makes game designers so interesting, and anyone in that creative process to boot, I guess, because if you're doing a game about Jurassic Park, that sure would be interesting stuff to know about, you know, or a good background to have, and so... it's kind of counterintuitive to me having a game degree, just because it's like, well, I'm not branching out. I mean, I'm learning game principles, but learning how to apply those to other knowledge. I mean, I think that's why a sculpture degree isn't stupid, because I experienced so many different things in that realm, and I think one of the things I learned the most was how to research any topic, evaluate it, conceptualize it, abstract what makes that so interesting and why, and then using those ideas to develop whatever visual art I was creating. Now I'm working with production and game design, and I'm like, okay, what topic am I doing? I'm making a kid's game right now. Well, let's look at kid's games.
Oh,
are they
speaking
successful?
Of, I need to talk to you about that, because I need my kid to play that game.
Awesome game! I will send out a beta to anyone that has an iPad. You just email us or contact us through the podcast, and I will send it out, and I've got to send it out to our friend Trent here.
Yes.
But yeah.
Don't actually have an iPad.
Oh, crap.
Darn it.
No, I'll hook you up.
Yes.
Excuse me. I got connections.
Nice.
So, yeah. So, I mean, that was definitely something interesting to getting a degree. I agree. Get a degree in whatever you can, but understand that it's not about that topic. It's about being able to take those ideas from that topic and conceptualize them and abstract them to higher levels of thought and then reapply them to another
discipline.
That's the word I was thinking of. Thanks.
We make a great team.
Yeah.
It's like we finish each other's
send verbatims.
Oh, no, man. Pies.
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 That's right. I am not going to Village Inn with you ever again, by the way. Last week was, we're not going to talk about that anymore. We didn't go to Village Inn.
Yeah. Are you ever going to Village Inn ever? Maybe for the pie.
No.
For the pie.
You're thinking of Denny's.
Nope.
Denny's?
Okay.
I would never go. Village
okay.
Inn, good pie.
So, I've got a story about Denny's that comes into play later. So, I realized three things, right?
Okay.
Magic, video games, comic books.
Okay.
Well, comic books, I could just sit at my house and draw, right? Magic, I obviously need a degree. Video games, well, I could just sit at my house and draw, or I knew that ITT Tech had a video game program. Mm-hmm. So I was like, video games, Magic the Gathering is also a game. Well, maybe I could do this, and if I wanted to do comics, I could just draw. So I enrolled in the video game design program at ITT Tech. It was actually digital entertainment and game design. Holla class of 2010, I think. I don't remember when I graduated. Anyway, so I enrolled in ITT Tech and worked there. Well, at the same time, I was working at it was a credit union as a collector, which is one of the most miserable jobs you can ever have.
The one that calls in and says you're past due on your credit card collector?
Yes.
Oh.
But we were small enough that I would be calling on credit cards, vehicles, basically any type of loan.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It was like a three-person show, our collections department. Well, I got really, really burned out really, really quickly. And I hate to say it, but my work ethic was horrible while I was there because it was such a miserable job. But I read a lot of Magic the Gathering articles while I was there. It was not a good time for me. And that was part of what made me realize why I started thinking, okay, what do I really love? Do I really want to be calling 80-year-old grandmas and telling them that I have to repossess the vehicle that they co-signed with their granddaughter on? I don't want to do that anymore.
Yeah.
Also, we had... This is a great story. So, one time we had to repossess a vehicle. And the repo guy told us, if you give this vehicle back to the individual, I will never repo it for you again. We found such scary stuff in there. It was crazy. We found I think it was a hatchet. I think there was a hatchet in there. we found, like, DVD player with, oh, just the most vile collection of pornography you'd ever imagine. And underneath the seat, there was an ice pick wrapped with athletic tape.
What?
Yeah. So I was like, I don't want to be in this situation ever again either. So anyway, that kind of spurred me on to pursue other opportunities.
Yeah.
Well, I started working for a law firm after that and doing data entry because I was like, oh, I can do data entry, really hone my typing skills because as a game developer, I'm sure I'm going to have to type, even if it's just writing code. And so anyway, it was awesome. And I eventually moved from the data entry department of the law firm into the IT department because I was going to ITT Tech. I was getting some technical skills, a little bit of programming. And so they were like, oh, that's cool. Made friends with some developers at the law firm because we have proprietary software that we used. One of the developers actually used to work for Acclaim when it was in town.
Mm.
And so I was like, oh, awesome. Anyway, we chatted. And his name is Roy Terry, actually. He's awesome. Haven't talked to him in years. But anyway, he was like, oh, yeah, cool. Kind of gave me some encouragement. Well, got over into the IT department in QA. And then, of all the crazy places, my wife started going to massage therapy school and met a girl there whose husband worked at GameStop and was like, oh, you know what? I'm interviewing with this company. If I get the job and we need more people, I'll let Trent know. So met him. We hit it off a little bit. His name's Aaron Glines, and he's awesome. Anyway, we hit it off. He got the job, told me about the job. And I was like, oh, I don't feel like I'm ready. Oh, my name's Trent. Rawr, rawr, rawr. I don't.
So where anyway, did he get a job?
So he got a job for a company called, I'm sure you can guess. Can you guess?
Local.
Yes.
Salt Lake.
Not around anymore.
Yeah. Funium?
No.
No?
We'll talk about it in a moment.
Okay.
Because it becomes important.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Foreshadowing.
So, anyway, I was like, okay, you know what? I'm just going to go for it. Stop waffling. This is what you want to do. Just put in your resume. So I did. I sent it off. Didn't hear anything. Well, one day, I, like, went out with the developers at the law firm, and we played Magic the Gathering. Weird. We were playing Magic, and I got this phone call, and I was like, oh, man, I'm doing this right now. Like, I don't really have a great way to get out of this. So I was like, excuse me, guys, ran outside, missed the call, so I called the number back. And I was like, hey, what's going on? And they were like, oh, well, no, I think I don't remember what happened. Anyway, it was the game company.
Mm-hmm.
The QA manager was calling me to set up an interview. So eventually we got it worked out and set up the interview. And I was really nervous, went out there, and basically the interview was one of the best interviews I've ever had. We just talked about games.
Mm.
One of the questions in the interview was, what's your favorite game? And it was so hard to decide what my favorite game was. And then I realized, you know what? Probably the best game I've played in a long, long time is Beyond Good and Evil. Did you ever play Beyond Good and Evil?
No.
Oh! Come on!
Someone needs to educate me on Beyond Good and Evil, apparently.
It's awesome. It's like every game you could ever want to play mashed into one.
What platform was it?
It was Xbox and PS2.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I think I've got it somewhere. I'll have to see if I can dig it out. You can get it on XBLA.
Okay.
In HD, actually. And they're working on Beyond Good and Evil, too. But okay. It's the greatest. The controls are probably a little dated. I remember having some issues with those. And the final boss is a little anticlimactic.
But it's the best game ever. Don't forget that part.
From point A to point Y,
uh-huh.
It's the best journey.
Oh.
It's awesome. Like
better than Journey in Journey?
Okay, so my son loves Journey. Wow. He calls it Sand Game. He's 3.5. And he always wants to play Sand Game or Fez. Yeah.
Nice
my
combo.
My son rocks. Anyway. So, it was an awesome experience. Eventually got the job. And the first project that I was put on was a huge letdown. Not because I was working in games, but just because it was Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Nice.
Yeah, for the first movie.
Okay, I know the studio, but I cannot think of their name.
Yeah.
Can you tell me yet?
Yeah, now? Sensory Sweep.
Sensory Sweep, yes.
Yeah, Sensory Sweep.
Okay.
At one point, we were like 220 people.
Yeah.
And 2 months later, we were 23 people.
Yeah.
So that's probably a story we should talk about.
Sensory
later.
Sweep did like Xena Warrior Princess.
I don't recall that.
I think they did.
Maybe.
I think they did.
They did a lot of licensed titles.
They did StarCraft. They did an expansion pack for StarCraft, right?
Before they were Sensory Sweep.
They've done a lot of things from Super Nintendo Xena title, which is.
That was back when they were Sapphire.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
So Hal Rushton. From what I can tell, I don't really know the whole story, but I know that there was a studio called Sapphire that a lot of people worked at, and they did Brood War.
They did Brood War. They did Xena because I know Alan, who was the designer there.
Alan,
I total two. Alan two. He designed, like, one of his first, he came on as an artist, he got more interested in design, and like, okay, here's this one, and he had to do Xena Warrior Princess.
Awesome.
He got to do a lot of art and a little design for Brood War, and then he moved on to Avalanche Studios, which was Disney, and now he's doing his own thing, but cool. I think he was there with Sensory Sweep, and then kind of...
Yeah, Sensory Sweep was...
Disappeared when it
We should probably talk about Sensory Sweep another time.
I'm done if you want it. What did you need?
How's it going?
Hey.
Good. What's up?
Can I grab you in 5 minutes?
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks.
Awesome. All right.
You got 5 minutes to wrap this up.
That was Karate.
Karate. Dude, his first name's not Karate. His last name's Karate. And I've always thought this got to be confusing for his family, but everyone calls him Karate, even though his first name's Brandon. But so who calls him Karate in his family? In his family's
I don't know. That would be awesome, though.
Yeah. Everybody's calling each other Karate. Like, hey, Karate. What, Karate? Go get me some stuff. I'm not going to get that. Make Karate get it for you. No, Karate's busy. Go make Karate get it. And then there's Mom, and you don't call Mom Karate because she'll Karate chop you.
Mrs. Karate?
Mrs. Karate.
It's awesome. Anyway.
Oh, man. Somebody used to marry that guy just because your last name gets to be Karate. So jealous, I can't marry him.
Or for other reasons.
Yeah, and he's mildly attractive. Just kidding.
He's a sharp-looking guy.
Yeah, he's sharp.
All right.
Okay, moving on. Sensory Sweep.
So yeah, I worked there for like 2.5 years.
Wow. QA the whole time?
No, I'm sorry. It was maybe not 2.5 years. It was a little over two years. So I was in QA for a little while.
Okay.
And then right as everything started falling apart, I got moved over to the art department. Like, it was something that I was working on for, like, months and months and months. There came a certain point where I could either branch out into design or art. And I was like, man, I love drawing. I love art. I love 3D modeling. Let's go that route. Because I was doing a lot of that for my degree, my associate's degree at the time. So that's the route that I chose. And I went through their intern program with a bunch of awesome people. Joseph Perriman, who is now working at Wahoo, I believe. I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong. But so just working there and seeing everything crumble really did two things. First of all... made me fall out of love with games a little bit. It's natural. It also made me realize that developers are not treated the way that they should be.
Yeah.
Like, the people that I worked with were awesome. They were amazing people. And to see what happened to them at the end was... devastating. That's part of the reason why I stayed on as long as I did. I was there for probably 6 months after everything started disintegrating just because I was keeping up hope that I would, through my efforts, I would be able to help recoup some of the losses that everybody experienced. Because basically, one of the big catalysts of that studio falling apart, besides embezzlement and not paying taxes, was we had a publisher who owed us, I think it was close to $2 million, who immediately after we got certified for The Tale of Despero, went bankrupt, sold the game to Atari, and as part of the sale of the game, stipulated that Atari did not owe anything to any vendors.
Holy cow.
So we got hosed, Bing Video got hosed, basically anybody who was attached to the game just lost out on everything. Because the game, when it was sold to Atari, was probably sold for pennies. And all of that money would naturally go to investors.
Yeah.
Right? People who invested in the company who failed. So it was bad all around. I mean, this was right when the recession started happening.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really, really hard. But one good thing that I learned from it is that it doesn't really have to be that way. I mean, I realized that I wanted to start my own company to show that you don't have to do it the way that games do it.
Yeah.
There's a quote from Alfred Hitchcock when they were working on North by Northwest that every time the writer would go to Hitchcock and present something new, if Hitchcock didn't like it, he would say, that's the way they do it in the movies.
Mm.
And we don't have to keep doing games the same way we've been doing games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't have to do crunch. We don't have to, you know, pay our people pennies on the dollar. We don't have to undersell ourselves. That was one of the huge things with Sensory Sweep, at least it seemed to me. I don't know. I wasn't on the inside. But it seemed to me like one of the problems they had was they kept getting contracts, which was awesome. We kept working. But they kept underbidding. And so they would overpromise and underdeliver.
Mm.
Which is not
totally
something
the opposite of what you want to do.
Yeah. But they kept getting more and more contracts, so they had to keep bringing more and more people on to fill those. And so they got to this point where they had to have the contracts coming in. They had to get those contracts, so they had to underbid everybody else. And then we would deliver what I felt was a subpar product. For what it was, for what we were given, we did the best that we possibly could.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everybody put their heart and soul in every single project that we worked on until the end. So we were working on The Tale of Despero, and it was, for me, I could see a lack of accountability for people because we kept getting to our milestone and missing the milestone.
Hmm.
So if we miss a milestone, we don't get paid.
Yeah.
Well, we wouldn't get paid, so people would not work as hard. Well, people not working as hard meant we were more likely to miss the next milestone.
Yeah.
So that was one of the other problems. And all these things just kept compounding together and compounding together. And like any one of those things, had they worked out, I think Sensory Sweep would have been fine, at least for a little while, until people started investigating the taxes. But I'm sure they started, you know, not paying taxes for people because they were like, oh, well, we've got to pay them.
Yeah.
So it was just one of those unfortunate situations that I'm sure got out of control.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I don't like to dwell on that too much because it seems really negative. And like a lot of the people involved were awesome people on both sides, like the management and all the artists and everything, programmers, developers, everybody. Like I didn't meet anybody there that I did not like.
Mm-hmm.
It was a really great environment. We played ping pong all the time. Anyway, which is another thing that I want to start.
We have tried in our studio here at the University of Utah multiple times. Someone has offered to buy like a $1,000 ping pong table, bring it in, set it up, and they're just like, oh, we just don't have room. It's just, it'll just be too difficult. They have found every excuse to tell us no, and we're like, no, we'll take care of everything. We want to bring a ping
pong
table.
Okay, so maybe foosball. So I found out from Spencer earlier that he doesn't really read Penny Arcade, which I've talked to him about. He's going to mend
comics,
his ways.
It's different. I've read the comics.
Have you watched the PA? Have you watched Penny Arcade the series?
The series?
Yeah!
Are you talking about extra credits?
No!
I watched the extra credits!
Ah!
That's something.
You gotta watch Penny Arcade. So, okay. It's about the studio, which Robert Koo is a genius. He's kind of the business manager and somebody that I want to emulate with Thunderhead Interactive, which is the company that I started because
was that right
I
after
realized,
Century Sweep?
No, it was a few years later. This was actually... I licensed the name last year and kind of hit a wall, and with work, family, I just did not put the effort into it that I really needed to in order for it to be successful. Mm. But I think it was actually Indie Game the Movie when I watched that, which is now on Netflix. Everybody should go watch Indie Game the Movie.
It's on Netflix now? Oh, man.
Yep. It's the greatest. Anyway, I went and saw it at Broovies.
Oh, you went to that, too?
Of course I went to that. Everybody went to that.
I took my wife to that. I was so stoked.
Oh,
she, for one, that doesn't understand anything about the industry, that was something that she's like, I'm excited. I'm glad you're into this. And I'm like, yes!
saw that Super Meat Boy sold over copies?
Yeah, I think maybe it was the... When she's like, wait a minute, that's $10 a copy? Ooh!
Yeah.
You know, but...
Math is really easy to do.
Math is really easy to do. Oh, yeah, that's... Maybe that got her excited for me to pour life savings into a project for a couple years, but...
Yeah. Anyway, so...
I'm not getting a hairless cat, and I'm not letting her get a hairless cat.
It's so cute.
Gross! They're so disgusting! It's like a ball of leather that moves! I'd rather get a football with a robot inside.
That's... You're really not selling me on this.
A ball of
leather that moves?
I'm not trying to sell you. That's disgusting. Oh.
That's part of the appeal. Anyway, watch the movie. You'll understand what we're talking about.
All right. Indie game movie. Inspiration.
I watched it at Broovies, and I was like, okay, you know what? I really need to commit myself to Thunderhead.
Mm-hmm.
I really need to start doing stuff. So... It actually took me a couple months to really pick up momentum, but I picked up the demo that I had, which was called Light Floor at the time. And one night I had an epiphany that Light Floor and the game that I was designing were two completely different games.
Hmm.
So I split them up, and I started working on this little puzzle game called Mosaic. Doesn't have a lot of story. It's just you're switching tiles back and forth. It's really simple, and that's kind of the approach that I want to take with Thunderhead is I want to slowly build on what I already know and push myself to that next limit. Like, I've never really made a game by myself before. You know, I've got a few titles through Sensory Sweep, but my school project failed miserably.
Mm.
And so I don't really have a strong portfolio, even though I feel like I have all the skills that I need to be successful. I let my student project get out of control and not get finished. So that's one thing that I regret.
How many people were on your school project?
There were only three people. Mm-hmm. Our poor programmer, he had some huge medical issues that took him out of commission for basically 4 weeks.
Wow.
And so we had to slash and slice the scope, and I became the programmer, which I'm no programmer. Like, I know a little bit. I know enough to be slightly dangerous. I'm like a kid with a wiffle bat.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can go and hurt somebody, but I can't really play in the pros, right? So I went through and I tried to figure out what his code was at the time,
mm-hmm.
and make it work for what we were trying to do. And it just wasn't. It was too raw, too rough. I I'm not enough of a programmer to be able to pick it up and run. Well, he eventually came back, and, you know, he was worried about the state of the project, obviously, because it was in no fit state. And so we had a lot of clashes, he and I, because, you know, we were students. We were like, oh, this is our one opportunity to make the best, most awesome thing possible. We just want a fun game. All of that. Is this sounding familiar?
Is that... So, okay, I thought that was just our program that we all had that mentality.
No. And so we fought on every little thing. Because I was like, I don't trust your opinion because you're wrong, because I'm right, because I know everything, because I'm this gaming genius. And he was the same way. And the other guy, who's Adam Medeiros, who's awesome, who I'll have to get on sometime.
We'll have to bring him in.
Yeah, anyway, he was doing level design and some level art. And he was kind of stuck in the middle, like, okay, these two are just fighting all the time. So he would, like, step back. And unfortunately, we just didn't ever really mesh.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so that project kind of went down in flames. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to work on Light Floor until it's perfect, which I realized perfection will never happen. In fact, the most perfect game is the one that's not completely perfect. And we'll talk about that another time, I think. Anyway, so working on this game, it became a new game called Mosaic, which is awesome, and that's the game that I showed at Indie Game Night the other week, and I'm going to go home and work on after this tonight.
Nice.
Yeah, so if anybody wants to check it out, go to the Thunderhead Interactive Facebook page. It's facebook.com/Thunderhead Games. And we've got a link there to play the demo. It's in Unity, so you'll have to make sure that you've got the Unity player, but it's cool. It's kind of like, Flash, but it's just for games. So...
And it's just awesome.
Actually, I think my mom has played it. I think my mom, my sister, and my brother are the only people who've played it through that link.
We're changing this.
Yeah.
We're going to get two more people.
Come on!
Two more people. It's all around.
And please, please, please give me feedback.
Yes.
You can send me a message or post to the page. Love seeing those comments. Love seeing the likes. It really, really keeps me motivated. So... that's what I'm doing tonight. And I'm changing that one once again. It was black and white. It's actually inspired by Michael Jackson's Billie Jean video.
Okay.
Where you would step on things and they would turn on.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of the same principle, except you turn them on and off by stepping on them. Cool, huh?
Brain.
So it was black and white. I'm going to make it more colorful. It's not very interesting right now.
Cool.
So, yeah. So that's where I'm at right now.
Cool.
Working on this game company. Watching Kevin Dent, trying to figure out how to market, trying to figure out how to do everything, and all while maintaining a relationship with my wife and a relationship with my kids and full-time employment.
Yeah.
That's me.
Did you realize it was going to be this hard to do something you wanted to do?
What do you mean by that?
Like,
because yes and no. Like, the specifically with Mosaic, that was designed in 20 minutes in class.
Okay.
And it's taken me 2 years to get a playable prototype. So, no, I didn't realize it was going to be that hard. I actually had a playable prototype once I started working on it. I had a playable prototype in, like, 7 days.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, I had some huge issues with it that I could not figure out. And eventually, that's where I kind of turned the page with Thunderhead Take 2, is I figured that out. I could talk about the technicality of it. But basically, I got over that hurdle, and it just got the momentum going.
Yeah.
So, yes, I I didn't think it would be as hard as it is, but I also didn't think it would be as easy as it is, if that makes sense. Like, it's easy to keep myself motivated, to keep going, to keep working, to keep making improvements. It's not easy at all to get the word out. I mean, nobody knows about the game except for the people who played it at the indie game night.
Yeah.
And people who actually follow me on Facebook who are like...
Okay, so we just got interrupted by a call from Trent's wife. And that
beautiful wife.
Beautiful wife. And I could barely hear his little boy going, "I want you home."
Yeah.
So we got to wrap this up, but... I like that right there is what breaks my heart when my wife posted on her Facebook a couple weeks ago and she said, "My husband left today, and if you ask me what t-shirt he was wearing, I probably don't remember, and I probably won't see him for another 2 days." And it was absolutely honest. I didn't even remember what shirt I put on that morning. And like, I've been so busy with school, so busy with everything that, like, the only time I get to talk to my kids is when they call and they say, where are you? Who are you? You know, and I'm just like, I want to be more of a father because I'm loving what I'm doing at work and I love being at home. But that, like, that's the hard thing that I've been dealing with lately is trying to be a family man with something that you love so much. And what have you done? 1 minute close up. What have you done?
Okay, awesome. It is really hard. But that's one thing that I'm very committed to with Thunderhead is making sure that my family comes first.
Mm-hmm.
So I only work on stuff after the kids go to bed. This podcast is the only thing that I do when they're still awake that's part of Thunderhead.
Mm-hmm.
Except for I'll bring my son down and let him play the game. Because I made the main character a star for him because he loves stars. So
nice.
We play games together. We, you know, that is their time. You know, when they're awake, it's their time. That's what they get. Obviously, I have to go to work, and you know, while I'm at work, I'm committed to work. But I've been working on making sure that I'm leaving as close to on time as possible, because that's something, if you've never read the book, you should probably read Rework. That's for everybody, just so you know. It's an amazing business book, and one thing they talk about is the people that you want on your team are the people who have lives outside of work, because they're the people who are going to make sure that they get stuff done during business hours, because they know 5 o'clock comes around and they have to leave.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to be, they're not going to wander around with their mug of coffee, just chatting up everybody. They're going to sit down, they're going to focus, they're going to get stuff done and be efficient. And that's the type of person that you want. You don't want the burnout who's there for 14 hours, goes home, plays World of Warcraft for another 3, wakes up 4 hours later and comes into work and has to waste their time coming in and getting themselves back up to speed, because they're not going to be giving you the time or the effort that you pay them for. Crunch is horrible.
Yeah.
Leave work at work and be committed to that.
Okay.
You know? So that's kind of where I'm at.
That's what's helped you the most.
Yeah.
Dealing with that.
Yeah, it's just making the decision that any time that I can have with my kids, I have with my kids.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Nice.
Now I got to go.
Okay.
Hang out with my wife.
We're signing off from where we're this place is now called Bob's Memorial Fart Booth. So someone called it Bob's Memorial. He's not dead. I'm not sure why we're memorializing him, but his name's on the fart booth, the sound booth here, so...
I have a...
I'm calling it Bob's Memorial Fart Booth.
I have a 5K that I organize every year called the Ray Murray Memorial 5K Fun Run Walk.
Okay.
My family has a family reunion in the Tetons every year.
Mm-hmm.
And last year, well, like last July... end of July, early August, was the first Ray Murray Memorial. So Ray Murray is not an actual person, but my little sister, her name is Rachel Marie.
Oh,
and
nice.
Every time we're like, hey, sis, we're going to have a boy, she's like, you know what's a great name?
Ray Murray.
So
we named the 5K. For some of this, who does the money go to?
There's no money. We just run 5K. Yeah.
That's more comforting, so you don't get in trouble with the taxes.
I'm going to try to get t-shirts for next year. And I'm going to try to spread the word more throughout my family so that we have more people. It's a huge ring.
You need
There's
to start a
like
Kickstarter.
1,000 people.
You need to do a Kickstarter for Ray Murray Memorial video game or something.
We'll see. We'll see. Kickstarter.
Maybe we may have ruined Ray Murray for you. All right.
No. All right.
Ray
Take
Murray,
care, everybody.
Leave work at work.
So, Spencer.
Yes.
Where do you want to have people find you?
Spenny Buchanan, at Spenny Buchanan on Twitter, probably going to be the easiest.
How do you spell that?
I don't even know.
It's at SpennyBuchanan.
Should I get a new Twitter handle? I mean, like, you know, you dedicate all this time, and then I'm like, oh my gosh, the fact that he had to spell that, and I had to remember if that's how it was spelled right or not, we need to figure something else out. But until then,
maybe a co-agged one.
Yeah, can you
confessions of a game designer, developer, game dev?
Confessions
I don't know.
Of a game dev.
We'll talk about the name next week.
Yes. All right. We'll figure that out.
Anyway. All right. Follow me at Thunderhead_I on Twitter, and you can find us facebook.com/ThunderheadGames.
Yes.
So. All right.
Cool.
Love you guys.
See ya.
We're still recording. All right, there we go.